It's really been very exciting and interesting to be a part of the Youth Sabbath here at this church. I want you to realize that the youth are who God's going to use in the near future. And I want you to also realize that Lucifer knows that. And so his plan is to make sure your youth are on his side. So today, as they've asked me to take a part in their service, I have decided that I'm going to talk to you about the sanctuary and the youth. And it's going to be down in history as one of my shortest sermons. Because we have to leave to go to the Messiah's mansion that opens at 1. But if you would take your Bibles and look in the book of Corinthians... Chronicles, dealing with David. Now, the verse in which I'm particularly interested in at this point is found in the sixth chapter. No, I'm sorry. The 17th chapter, verses 1 through 6. This is in Chronicles 1, 1 Chronicles 17, 1 through 6. It says, "Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, 'Lo, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains.'" So here you have David. Look, he's looking at his house. He's looking at his palace. He's seeing it and he's thinking, "Look what God has done for me." But God is still in that sanctuary. That's a curtain. It's a tent. God's still dwelling in the tent. And he's thinking, "I want to do something for God. I want to build..." Remember, David loved God, right? David was close to God. Yeah, David made some mistakes, but God cared enough for him to continue with him, right? And he loved God. And God calls David someone that was close to him, right? But David says, "I want to build something for God." Now, Nathan the prophet, he was there. And when he was talking to Nathan the prophet says, "Go do what's in your heart. Sounds like a good thing. Go do it." Something very interesting happened that night. Nathan has a vision, a dream, and God tells him, "No, that's not the plan that I have for you, David." In fact, he goes on to tell David that you can't build that temple because you are a man of war. Very interesting. David did not throw a fit. "Oh, come on now. I want to build this temple. Let me build it. Come on, let me build it." He says, "No, you are a man of war, but your son will build it." And so David, looking at this situation, David, by the way, did you know David went ahead and continued and got the plans from God? God gave David the plans for the sanctuary, and David understood that it was going to be a big job for his son to do. You know what David did? He gathered the materials, he got the plans, and then what happened was, when he was old and about to die, he calls his son Solomon together and he says, "I want you to be strong and of good courage, and I want you to take and build that temple. Here are the plans that God gave me. Follow these plans and build the temple exactly the way it's to be built." Now, David was a man of war and he couldn't finish building the temple. Let's review back into Moses' day. Moses' day, when they built the temple, you remember what happened? They finished building it, and then on the day of dedication, something took place. The sanctuary was finished. The cloud was there settling over the sanctuary, and the people were gathered around the temple, and they were said, "If you build me this temple, I'm going to come live with you," right? So here they're gathered around that temple. Then something happens when Moses and Aaron's in there at the altar of sacrifice. They put the offering on there, and then right from the cloud, right from God's presence, fire came down and consumed that sacrifice, and they knew that God accepted it. And then we find that the cloud settles in all the most holy place, and God's glory filled the temple. Now you find that in the book of Exodus, in the last chapter, where God fills that temple. Did you know that when Solomon finished building the one that he got the instruction to build, that God did the very same thing? You see, what happened was the children of Israel again gathered around the temple. Solomon had finished building it. Solomon has this prayer, and he's dedicating the temple. And while he's dedicating the temple and the people, the same thing takes place. They got the offering inside the altar, on the altar of sacrifice. Fire comes down and consumes the sacrifice. And God filled that temple. But if you took your Bibles and you read in the book of Corinthians, in fact, there are three chapters in the book of Corinthians that you could find this. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20, that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Did you know you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. He says you and I are the temple of the Holy Ghost. In fact, if you read on in the book of Corinthians, actually, you go backwards into 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. It says that you are not just the temple of the Holy Ghost, but you're the temple of God. Did you understand what I just said? You see, when they finished building that temple, they put the offering up on the altar of sacrifice, the sin offering there. And as they dedicated the temple, something happened. God, the God of the universe, who created the whole world, He dwelled right in that temple. And He says, you're a temple that I want to live in. Very interesting, isn't it? In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it refers to Jesus. He says that you are a place where Jesus dwells. So referring to you and I as a temple. Now, I want you to think about this. You're the temple for the Godhead. That's what you are. You're His temple. In fact, if you would go back into the Old Testament, reading about Lucifer, you'll find out Lucifer, his problem was that he defiled his sanctuary. He was a sanctuary for God. You find that recorded in Ezekiel. He was a sanctuary. We are a sanctuary. God designed us to be filled with Him. That's the way we're designed. But when sin came in, something happened. And there was a separation. But if you look in the book of Revelation in chapter 7, also in chapter 14, you will find a mention of a group. 144,000. You will find that God describes that group. As He describes that group of the 144,000, He is describing His character. You see, He says, there's a group of people that's going to stand that has no guile in their mouth. They're not perverted by the other false religion. They are pure virgins. Do you know that when David got the instructions from God, David was a man of war. He had done a lot of killing. And God had told him that, I want you to prepare for your son to build a temple. You know, there's a temple that God is still waiting to be built. It's this one. Look at the description in the second chapter of Acts, verses 1 and onward. You will find out the disciples, just prior to this, before Jesus died on the cross, you'll find out that Jesus, they thought, was going to overthrow the government. And you know, Peter, he had the sword willing to help fight. He was literally ready to fight to the death for Christ. And he proved it. Do you see what happened at the Garden of Gethsemane? He pulls the sword, didn't he? He meant what he said. What happened was, they didn't understand that He didn't come in that manner. He came so that He could be that lamb that they saw day after day after day being brought in at 9 o'clock and killed, and brought in at 3 o'clock and killed, and all the times between 9 and 3, all pointing to Christ's death. And Jesus dies, and they're confused when He dies, and He comes back and He tells them all about the sanctuary. And He explains to them how the sanctuary is, how He's going to go to heaven and He's going to finish the work. The death on the cross was just the beginning. He has to finish the work in heaven. And so as He tells the disciples this, you know what the disciples do? They don't care who's number one anymore. You know what they do? They put aside their differences. You know what they did? They were young people. And they got along. They put aside their differences. And when they did that, you know what happened? Fire comes from heaven, The temples are finished, right? Fire comes from heaven in the form of what? Cloven tongues. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you know that in Matthew it refers to that that God is more willing to give us gifts, that the gift of the Holy Spirit, than I would be willing to give my own kids some bread or whatever it would be? God is more willing to give us the Holy Spirit. So when the disciples received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit was there and was intended to stay with us. It was intended for the work to finish and to go forward. Do you know that when they were filled with that Spirit, that there was 3,000 people joined the church in that one day? Now, what are we going to do when 3,000 want to join this church, Pastor? We better find a bigger place to baptize, right? It's going to happen because we are told in the pen of inspiration that the greater work than they did will be done by those who are filled with the Spirit in the last days. Brothers and sisters, you have before you the youth. You and I, the older ones, have been men of war. Do you realize that we could have been the youth that brought in the second coming of Christ? We didn't do it. We have failed in doing so. Now we're the older ones. You know what we need to be doing now? We need to be focused on our youth. We need to care about our youth. There should not be one of our youth having to go to any other school to be taught by the world. These are our kids. Our youth need to be trained because these are the ones that may be the ones that finish the work. This is what God says. An army of youth that's rightly trained, right? Rightly trained, an army of youth. And I'm looking at the youth of your church. And you want to know something? I'm seeing a movement across the world right now. In fact, I watched Mission Spotlight. And the guy there on the Mission Spotlight said, I think it was in Egypt or someplace like that, he said, something's happening to our youth over here. Brothers and sisters, we need to get the materials ready for our youth. If our youth ever lack in material, shame on you and me. You know, there's going to be some time that God's going to come, right? Think about all the things that you have. What good is it then? Use it now. On your youth. Build them up. Let me share something with you though. Our youth need the example. Need the example. And you know what? Satan has tried really hard to win this battle over people. It's our youth that he's gearing toward. You're not going to be liked. You're not going to be very popular to keep the things of the world away from your youth. But you need to. And as adults, you need to give the example. If they see you sitting down watching something and you're telling them not to, what does that say? If they hear you listening to something that's not appropriate, what does that say? If they see you eating in a manner that you're not supposed to, what does that say? If they see you dressing in a manner that's not appropriate, what does that say? Adults, we are so lucky to be alive today. We can be the David of the old. We can prepare these youth right here. We get to help them. We get to give them things. We get to help them and grow in Christ. The Lord is about to come. The Holy Spirit is about to be poured out upon His people. And brothers and sisters, it's happening not just here, but all across the United States. And on across the world. Our youth are waking up. So as adults, start looking. What can you do to improve for these youth, for what they can do for Christ? They need to get the temples ready. They need to have no guile in their mouth. They need the wisdom of age. You've been in the war. You've been there. You know what sin does. they don't have to experience it. Guard them. Protect them. And all these young people in this room, don't wash your hands of them, because every last one of you are held accountable for them. That's why God gave them at the time He's given them to be in this world. I can't think of something else to say. I want our youth to understand the importance of their life. I want them to understand that Satan is trying really hard to keep you away from God. And he does it very sly. It's in the entertainment of the world. You would do yourself good if you just purpose in your heart, like Joseph did, no matter what, that you keep yourself holy and true to God, like Daniel did. Those are our examples of youth. You're the ones, you're it. You're the one to stand when that censer's placed down. You're it. Problem is, whether you do it or not, it's going to be done by youth. It'll be done. And older folks, you and I, need to spend a lot more time on our knees for our youth. We do. We got to protect them from the avenues that the devil uses. Let's pray. Our loving Father in heaven, as we are thinking about our youth, what a privilege and an honor it is to be alive and a part of our youth. But Father in heaven, we ask that you forgive us, for we have failed in taking care of the youth that we have. By our examples, Lord, and the way we have misrepresented you to our youth. Father, yes, we want to spread the gospel to the world, but we have our own youth that are leaving the church in groves, Father. And I ask, Lord, that this church here will stand as a different. It will be different than other churches where the children are leaving. And I pray, Father, that the children of this church will get a love for you, get a love for your word, get a love for the Spirit, get a love for all the things dealing with you, and a hatred for the entertainment, Father, that you that the devil has provided to separate the youth from you. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.